Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to another exciting episode. Oh, a gripping episode of The Naked Englishman and his wonderful sidekick, the lovely Julia.
Good morning.
It's the 16th today of October 2024 on a overcast morning. The time is 7:18 according to my computer, and again, it's another controlled weather day by the horrible, nasty people who are trying to eradicate the human existence on Earth so that they can have it for themselves, the swines. But we're not downcast about that, because we're going to kick their butts, as they say.
Bottoms. I'm not allowed to say butt.
No, that's very true. I do make a point of saying it's not an English word, my lovely Julia.
Exactly. But
I need to find somewhere to put...
It's not in that context anyway.
No.
You need to find somewhere to put your books.
I know.
You're saying.
Yes, I need to.
Piles of books you need to...
I've got to go to the little shop, furniture shop, because there is one space left in this house to put a bookshelf up, and that is just on the inside of the studio, which actually would look nice when you look back.
It would look much nicer than the junk that I've been putting
there. Yeah, and the promhandle and things like that. And because my books are just getting bigger and bigger and bigger on the floor.
Well, actually, my parasol isn't junk.
No, your parasol looks very nice. Anyway, my house is a mess because we were away last weekend and we've been full on with stuff to do and not had a chance to tidy up since I've been back. Just going to turn the internet on whilst I'm here. Might make another drink in a second. Let's just turn this on. We turn that off at night time. I told you before, but telling you now. In case it inspires you to do the same, to turn your internet off so the EMFs don't radiate your brain whilst you're snoozing. What are you reading there, my darling? Oh, yes.
Maximize your child's potential, the brain buzz stories.
Oh, yes, Sue Cook sent that for you.
Yeah.
That is for you.
Very much appreciating it.
So, let's have a quick gander at Miranda. Hi, nice woman. Right, now, let us have a quick look on the 16th in our dear diarists. John Everett Millais in 1851 in Surrey, whoever John Everett Millais was, said, worked on my picture, painted nasturtiums. Nasturtiums, is it? Nasturtiums?
Nasturtiums.
Nasturtiums.
Yeah, nasturtiums.
I thought they were nasty things. Saw a stoat run into a hole in the garden wall, went up to it and endeavoured to lure the little beast out by mimicking a rat or mouth squeak. Succeeded, to my astonishment. He came out of the hole and looked in my face within easy reach. He offered me a cup of tea and I nipped into the hole with him and...
Oh, no. Come inside, meet the missus.
Yes. So that's very remarkable. John Ruskin in 1858 in Denmark Hill in Surrey said, sitting for an hour on the bank of the lane under Knight's Hill, the ground covered with gossamer, all the fields rippling with a stream of sunshine like a lake, yet no perceptible wind. Sat there for an hour doing absolutely bugger all. A lazy git. Anyway, there we go. How lovely. Back in time when you could do that and there were no aeroplanes, no motor cars, you could sit there quietly. Perhaps there was the distant rattle of a plough share going up and down and the horses, perhaps a few bells from the sheep that had bells round their necks in the old days, and a shepherd and his dog, and a shepherd calling to his dog, walk on there, come on there.
Come by, yar.
Come by, yar, my lord. Come by, yar. No, didn't come by, yar. Came by pony and trap. All right, fair dues.
The neigh of a horse whose groom is 2 minutes later than usual.
Yes. Now, I'm going to sit next to the lovely Julia, because I've done that reading bit. Come hither and thither, little gentle lady of the night. That didn't sound very good, did it?
No, it didn't.
Yesterday I was...
umming and ahhing.
Went to the farm shop with the lovely Julia, yes. I was umming and ahhing and how to get into the story. And Julia said, I'll pick you up and we'll go to the farm shop, you see? And we did. We did all that. But before she arrived, I said to her, I'll just stand outside on the doorstep so you can scoop me up. And so I went to the door to step outside, having put my shoes and socks on and some clothes and, you know, all of brush my hair and all of that. And I as I was opening the door knocked. And I said, hello. He said, hello, where are you off to? And as I opened the door, there was a knock on the door and a boat was standing there. And I said, oh, thinking it might be a bailiff. I said, yes. And he said, sorry to doorstep you like this, Richard. He knew exactly who I was. He says, I've got a present for you. I said, oh. He said, have you got time? I said, well, I'm just about to be picked up, actually, by the lovely Julia. We're going to the farm shop. And he said, oh, well, it'll only be a second. And he handed me this plastic tub, which is one of these plastic tubs that you...
Takeout tub.
A takeout tub, whatever that means, from a takeaway shop.
Yeah.
Mm. Which may have had curry or something in it. Is that something? So he said, that is for you. He said, I know that you did a video about pipes, and at one time you'd used to go to the Pipe Museum in Bramber. And I said, yes, I did. He said, yes, I remember it well. My dad was in the profession, supplying pipes to the world. So I said, oh, that's very interesting. So he gave me this. I opened it up, and inside was this tissue. blew my nose on it. And inside this, I'm unwrapping it now as we do it, is a beautiful clay pipe. And inscribed on the stem, well, not so much inscribed, stamped on the stem, is 17th of April, 1979.
My goodness.
Yeah. And on the other side, it says, The House of Pipes, Bramber. And on the clay bowl is a imprint.
It's embossed.
It's an embossed
picture of
Bramber Castle. Anybody who knows Bramber Castle will know that there's the gatehouse, one wall of the gatehouse, which is about 50 feet or something, still remains, a flint wall. And this has got Bramber Castle underneath in a little...
banner type ribbon thing.
With a little bit of bushes at the bottom and then...
Just like Bramber.
Yeah. So they...
it's lovely, isn't it?
It's very beautiful. And of course, it's quite delicate. And it's a clay pipe, the type of pipe that would have been smoked by poorer people, farmers, labourers mostly. And what's interesting is the guy said to me, he said, I said, that's exquisite. He said, yes, but sometimes they would have, in those days, they were cheap as chips, because they would actually have them pre-filled and they were that disposable. Because I suppose once you've got clay moulds to make these sort of pipes, you just, you know, whoever was making them as a profession would do two halves, stick them together, put them in the kiln, bang, and you could rattle out tons of those.
I still don't see why it can't be made in one whole piece.
Well, it might well be made in one.
I'm going to try. I'm going to try. I have to.
But I think you can see down the line there's a seam across the bowl and right down, so you can see it's in. Mm-hmm. It's basically the whole thing is in two halves, and then, you know, just slightly moulded and then kilned, kildified, heated
up. It is a beautiful, exquisite little thing.
Yeah.
Considering it's a disposable pipe. Rather lovely.
But very delicate.
Mm.
So it's now I probably will give it a smoke in a video. There's no point doing it in an audio because you won't be able to see the effect. And anyway, it needs some photographs done. Anyway, he said his dad worked in the profession and he had a whole load of pipes. And he said, if you want to come over his house one day, you could help yourself to a few. And I said, oh, OK. That's very kind of you. Anyway,
so he hopped straight on over.
Well, no. I hopped over later on in the afternoon. Now, something I haven't shown Julia is over here.
Oh, my goodness. That's not a pipe. That's a tankard. That is... a tree trunk with a branch and a couple of bits of what do you call that, vulcanite?
It's either vulcanite or acrylic. I think that's probably acrylic, isn't it, on that one? But it may be vulcanite, which is a form of rubber.
That's incredible. That is incredible. I mean, the actual hole's what, almost an inch wide?
It's cherry as well.
Cherry!
So this is a pipe,
oh, yeah,
as such, that is about a foot long, maybe more, maybe... actually about 12, 13 inches.
The bowl itself is like the size of a
mini log.
A large tumbler.
Yes.
A large half-pint tumbler.
It is a big, bulky pipe. So it's really a display pipe, although it is possible to... you could fill it and smoke it.
This is the sound of me putting it down next to the microphone.
Yeah, it is.
It's hefty.
It's a hefty thing.
Oh, blimey.
So, yes.
Beautiful cherry wood there, though. Look at it. The bark is always fascinating.
It's got bark on the outside. So it's it's from a branch that is bigger than an arm's, bigger than my arm's width. Maybe not up at the shoulder. Yeah. Shoulder width with, as you say, about a 10-inch stem and then a bit of vulcanite. A 10-inch stem of wood, of another piece of wood that's been affixed.
It's got an elbow and and a tailpipe, or mouthpiece, that's what it is, not tailpipe.
So I thought I'll bung it in the set.
Yeah, I'll go put it back in then, shall I?
So he gave me that, which was very kind. He said, you could smoke that. And I said, yeah, but you couldn't afford to fill it. That's almost a whole tin of tobacco that goes in there. And then in a big cardboard box, there must have been 50 pipes. All different shapes and sizes. Some he's going to put them on eBay, and some were, some were not 100%. Some were broken, in other words, and some weren't. Many of them weren't, but there were many of the sort of similar shapes and similar sizes. So I picked out a number. He gave me also these tampers. And these are tampers. I don't know if they're...
like mini busts, little clay mini busts.
Yes, I don't know if they're in Meerschaum. They probably are in Meerschaum. Or some sort of clay.
Yeah, that looks like clay, like the same stuff that the pipe was made of.
And so these are little, as Julia said, little busts. This one is like a Charles II type character with the very long hair that the Stuart period had. And he's got some sort of
ruffles
around his neck. And then it goes into a small little stubby bit, which is where you tamper the pipe down.
That is coloured, painted and glazed at the bottom.
And the other one is more like a Stuart, a Tudor type character, like you might see pictures of Shakespeare with that
ruff. Yeah, the big upright ruffles right up next to the neck. Unlike the other ruffle hoop, which was hanging down.
Yes, like a lace.
Yeah, like a tie almost.
Tie, yes.
This one's just the all-round, what do you call it? Collar thing.
Collar, yeah, a ruff.
Oh, look, he's got what's that word? Cross hanging from his neck too.
Yes, it's a religious-y bloke. So, yes, a couple of those, which are very nice. And then a selection of pipes, which I've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7... because I smoked one last night. And there were two pipes, which are slightly smaller and quite delicate. These are probably from the 70s, probably from the same era.
Hmm.
So they're quite old.
This one says soccer.
These are briars we're looking at. So this one is cool.
Feather grip, this one.
Oh,
made
cool
in
hay.
Italy.
So these are briar ones with an apple type bowl. Very small and delicate. Looking forward to getting my grips around there. Some of these shapes I've seen on. This is a very sort of V shaped, isn't it? This one.
Yeah.
Quite like that one. It's.
You'd struggle to find a stand to put that in to hold it upright, and if you've got to put it down while smoking it.
Yes, the bowl goes into
it's
a point.
Got an elbow down there, isn't it?
Yeah, a great big pointy elbow at the bottom of the bowl, and then it's a half, what do you call that? Half curve, very very distinct, but again small and delicate. Well, relatively small. Then a couple of other. This one, I've always seen these shapes, but never had one. I don't know what there is a name for that.
Yeah, it's just, it's a very upright bowl, isn't it?
Yes, upright.
Like a straight bowl.
But leaning at an angle.
Yeah.
And it says on there, talisman.
Talisman.
And it's got a T on the vulcanite stem. And then there's this one, Which is another clay.
It's a half clay.
It's a half clay, so it's got a clay bowl, but a lot more. It's a lot firmer. And it's called. Oh, it's got on here, Sea Crop. So you've got made in London. And I assume that's clay, and it may be meerschaum. It does feel a bit meerschaum. And then it's got a silver. Oh, what's the word?
Band,
but it's like
there's
a shoulder.
There's a proper name, yeah.
And then from there, very thin stem that comes from that, again, vulcanite, black stem that comes out of there. So you've got this white.
Very elegant.
This is very elegant. So, yeah, I think that must be meerschaum. It doesn't feel clay-like at all, although it's similar in look. Compared to the clay one we just looked at, and compared to this, you know, you can feel that's clay,
yeah,
but that is glazed a bit.
Yeah, this I was going to say this is slightly glazed. I still think it's
it may
clay,
be clay, it may be a half
but
thing.
But where it's older, that might be where it's confusing. It could be.
But anyway, so that was a beautiful gift and a set of pipes. Julia's now having a look at the one that she got for me, which is a meerschaum.
This is new, but that's got a completely different feel to the
right
to the clay.
Oh, well, maybe it is clay. There you go. Difficult to know.
Yeah, I can't guarantee you wouldn't put
the. But isn't that nice? The point I suppose I'm making is that that
a viewer randomly turned up on your doorstep really sweetly to offer you some pipes.
Yes, and that isn't it amazing how generous people can be.
It is.
So of course I said to Julia afterwards. I said, well, that's really kind, isn't it? Got tampers, I've got new pipes, and all of these, by the way, had been unsmoked.
Yeah,
they were part of what he was selling, I suppose, to different people, and maybe they were samples or whatever. But anyway, all I need now is viewers to send in tobacco, and we'll be all right. It could be puffing away. So I said, I'll have to set up a donations page. You can send in donations of tobacco. In actual fact, we did meet one of our viewers in Glastonbury who did give. He's been growing his own tobacco, and it's rolling tobacco, and he gave Julia some, but yeah. It was a bit dry.
Yeah, I need to. There's still a bit more, so I need to put a bit of cucumber or carrot or something in there to moisten it. I'm going to sneeze.
Oh, bless you. Oh, bless you again.
Let me look at that sky, because I think I know what I'm going to see. Oh, yeah, look, there's why my nose and sinuses are all gummed up.
Yes, they've been spraying like buggery all over the bloody place, which is a nuisance. Anyway, so that's our little jaunt, or my little, you know, surprise yesterday, which was very lovely and very much appreciated. Of course, I did all the interviews. I've got two interviews again today and blah, 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 same old, same old. So we'll get that done. And yes, no time at the moment to swing a cat, but as I think I mentioned before, from the second week in November, apart from a few gigs, as it were, I'm going to take a break from the interviews because they tie me down to a time and place. The monologues will carry on, but I need a bit of time away from the studio and all that to go and do some walking in the countryside, but also to do some writing and also to try and find a piece of land for us and so that we can actively have time. Because when you've only got a day here or a day there, you can't really do very much. And when we've been out and about going to places like Glastonbury to do talks, or we've been asked to attend events like we have with the detox fair and things like that, there's no time to do anything else. And, you know, people are interested in saying hello, and there's lots of conversation and stuff, and there's just no time to, you know, you need lots of time, you need weeks to be able to plan things and get off and have a look at things and try and have a clear brain, really, to think about, is this going to be appropriate? For example, a friend of ours, John, at Dora's Dairy, we were looking at some land that was nearby, just online. And I sent it to him, and he said, well, you wouldn't want that because I know it floods.
Yeah.
You would need wellies there. And so it's having local knowledge as well is very useful, because you could very easily buy a piece of land in the summer and think it's great, and then in the winter find that it's all clogged up and below water.
Yeah. One of the best bits of advice that I think that we receive from these lovely books that we've been reading is the fact that if we go and see the places in the, you know, the worst conditions, like the winter,
yes,
and we still like it, and that is a good indicator of that you're going to get along okay there, because if you can deal with it at its worst,
yeah,
then when it's at its best, it's going to be amazing.
Absolutely. Anyway, so there we are. Thank you very much for listening, ladies and gentlemen. I hope that's been relatively interesting, a bit different. We will talk to you probably tomorrow, usual thing. And so there you go. Anyway, take care. All the best.
And ta-ra, chooks.
Ta-ra, chooks, and tutty bye for now.